So I was searching around on YouTube the other day, and I saw a coffee video that said...
No, we're more about being very familiar and approachable with a fantastic, mocha latte or a couple of shots of espresso.
Wait a minute. Did he say mocha latte? Then that means it's mocha latte time. This week's show is for coffee lovers and travelers everywhere as we get to sit down and meet Winter, the subject of the new movie documentary, Starbucking, as well as the coffee scenes from Hidalgo and McAllen, Texas, and an all-new music exclusive from Mod Dog coming up. Hello and welcome to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World. This is your host, Circus Boy Nathan, coming to you from South Padre Island, Texas. And this is my podcast, weekly podcast, where I always have cool interviews with people, cool people that like coffee and things of, coffee and espresso interest, and my search for the best mocha latte in the world, of course, as I travel around on my motorcycle with the circus. And the circus is my day job, but I have a passion for coffee, and I'm excited about every week's show, but I'm especially excited about this week's show. You're all going to meet in about a minute or two here. I'm going to get to meet Winter. Now, you're probably asking, who is Winter? Well, I'll tell you in a minute. First, I'll explain a little bit about the week this week, where we were, and then we'll get to the coffee scene later. This week we were in Hidalgo, Texas. Now, if you listened to last week's podcast, we were in Laredo, which is right across from Nuevo Laredo, which is a border crossing. And this week we're in Hidalgo, which is right across from Reynosa, right on the border as well. And it was a good week. Now, last week I had mentioned that I might try to get over to Mexico and maybe check out the coffee scene over there and maybe do a little brief podcast from over there. But, the verdict is... Oh, before I tell you, I'm going to take a sip of my espresso. I just made up a fresh double shot Doppio here of espresso. And let me taste it. You can... That's pretty decent. I had these beans I've been trying out that I got this week from Moonbeans Coffee, but I'll talk about that later. So, did I go to Mexico or didn't I? Well, the answer is yes, I did. I got to go over and see a circus in Mexico. Got to see Circus Tiani, which is, from what I understand, the largest circus in pretty much Latin America, South America, and Central America. And it was a lot of fun. I went over with some of the people from our show, one of the clowns, and some of the people who do animal acts, and one of the high wire girls went over, and some other people. So we had a great time. We were treated very well. Got a backstage tour, and the show was... How to say the show was great. I mean, it was definitely a different feel than... I mean, it was still circus, but it was done in a tent. We usually play in arenas, and it's a tent show, and they do a really great job. I mean, there were so many times in the show where I found myself saying, wow, just with some of the acts and the props and just everything they had. It was really, really cool. So I did get over to go to Mexico, and it was my first time in Mexico, but I did not get to try any coffee. Sorry, guys. So in the future, though, I'm going to try, and we can ask next week's guest about coffee in Mexico, but I'm not going to tell you who's next week's guest is, because you're going to have to listen to the end of the podcast to find that out. So, but yeah, we were in Hidalgo, Texas this week, which is home of the largest killer bee. Apparently, when the killer bees came across the border, they crossed illegally at Hidalgo, as legend has it. And that was the point of entry, apparently, for the killer bee. And then they had this big, like, I don't know, a killer bee the size of a minivan monument down there in Hidalgo. So it's pretty wild. But other than that, there's not really too much going on. Most of the shopping and everything else in the town that's going on is straight north a few miles in McAllen, Texas. And even farther north than that is Edinburgh, where there's a university up there. But McAllen is the kind of the main hub of what's going on there, where we were this week. So that's so if you ever come to this part of the country down near the border towns, then, you know, shoot me an email and I can tell you where the coffee places to go. And but I'm not in McAllen or Hidalgo or Edinburgh right now. Right now, I'm sitting in the Flying Dutchman, my RV, on the beach in South Padre Island. That's right, the big, I guess it's best known because it's a spring break area. And this week, a lot of the students from Mexico have their break for Easter. It's kind of the Holy Week for them. And they're all, I guess, here on their vacations in South Padre. So, but it's also a big, I guess, college spring break. I never came down here in college. My spring breaks, I always bought a ticket to Europe. I just went to Europe for a week or something, and I never was in the spring break scene. But enough of that. So I'm here in South Padre Island, and I'm looking out my window, and I can see the Gulf of Mexico, and it's a little bit cloudy today, definitely windy. It's been windy this whole week. But yeah, I'm here for a few days visiting a friend of mine, Christy. She happens to be a clown, but also a sandcastle artist as well, like a master sandcastle artist. So I may have to talk more about that that next week. But yeah, so good times. And yeah, so that's, I'm going to try the coffee here in the next couple days, but I'll talk about that next week. So getting on to the interview. Now, who is Winter? Well, he is a gentleman that has been traveling for the past 10 years trying to drink coffee at every single Starbucks in the entire world. That's right, every Starbucks in the entire world. And you may ask, what kind of person does this? Who is this, and what makes him tick? Well, you're going to find out, and it's going to be two parts. I'm going to give you a break in the middle there, and we'll do the coffee scene quick, and then give you the second part of the interview, and then come back and finish up with the upcoming attractions for next week's show, and, of course, new music from Mod Dog, as always. Good stuff this week. So here we go. I'm here with Winter. Is that what you go by?
Winter is my full legal name, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Very cool. Now, explain to the people listening out there on the podcast what it is. I guess. Your quest. How would you explain to someone? I guess your quest.
That's pretty simple. I've been trying since 1997 to visit every Starbucks in the world. Now, back in 97, there were only about 1,500, so the goal was a lot easier to fathom. Now, with at least 10,000 stores that I need to visit, this excludes the ones not operated by Starbucks, it's looking to a lot of people, and perhaps to me, as impossible, but I persist for some reason.
Yeah. Now, why? I was kind of curious. I was thinking about this. Why did you choose coffee, over? Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, why coffee and not something else?
Well, that question assumes that I made a choice to go and try and visit some big chain, and mm-hmm. that's not actually what happened. I wasn't looking for something to do. I was mm-hmm. just sitting at Starbucks talking about how quickly the company was growing, because back then, in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, there was a new store at least, I want to say at least every month or two.
So
we chat about this store, that store, and out of those discussions, the idea popped into my mind. It occurred to me that I hadn't heard of anybody else doing it, and the idea of doing something singularly unique in the whole world appealed to me. That was the primary motivation, to do something singularly unique. Had somebody else been doing it, well, I would have let them go on, and I would have, I wouldn't have chosen something else because I wasn't looking. I would have just gone about my business.
So yeah. It's kind of like it kind of found you then, in that sense.
You could look at it that way. Now, since then, I continue, despite the difficulty that gets more difficult every year, because I derive all types of enjoyment from what I'm doing. It appeals to the collecting nature that I have. All the media attention into my attention getting personality. I also simply need to be challenged and trying to figure out the best way to visit as many stores as possible in a given amount of time with a given amount of resources is like a puzzle, kind of like a big board game or a big video game with the whole country or the whole world as the playing field. One little realized fact about my project is that the photography is almost as important as actually visiting all the stores, which is why I'm sitting here at a Walmart Supercenter waiting tonight for the sun to come up so I can photograph this store in Bristol and then go over to Johnson City.
Okay. Yeah, I've been at that same exact Walmart. We came through there with the circus. We played Johnson City and Roanoke and that area. So. Yeah, but very cool. Now you said you've been doing this for 10 years. Did you start photographing each Starbucks location from day one?
No, never occurred to me for 2 years. And it was actually the manager of the store where I would hang out that suggested this to me. I would come back to trips with lists of stores that I had visited and say, all right, I'm up to 100 now or something like that.
Right.
That take pictures to prove it. And, I didn't really, I don't know why, but the idea never really appealed to me. But then suddenly, sometime in 99, I decided, I should take pictures of these stores, bought the digital camera, and rediscovered the joy and passion that I used to have for photography when I was in high school and college. So I used to be big on taking photographs for documentation purposes. I would document dormitory activities and put together little newsletters every month or yearbooks at the end of the year. And there's something similar with what I'm doing with the Starbucks, taking the pictures, taking notes of anything that's interesting, and putting them up in today's medium, which is the internet. I do have to say that without the internet, what I'm doing would probably be impossible, and it certainly would have gotten this level of attention.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I know in my search, I have I go around searching for the best mocha latte in the world is the name of the podcast, and I agree totally about the internet age. Like, it would be virtually impossible to cover the amount of coffee shops in a reasonable amount of time. For us, we're only in a one town each week, and you know, without the internet, I'd, you know, be driving, probably getting lost, you know, like every 10 minutes, you know, or something like that. But
I have a map, and I have a map on my laptop right next to me.
Uh-huh.
But still, you know, I rely on the internet for all sorts of information.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Do you use the Google Earth? Is that what you found most helpful? Or?
No, actually, I use Microsoft Streets and Trips because I can download it onto my machine and I don't need to be connected to the internet.
Oh, okay. That's
very useful, and it also has the ability to allow me to very easily import the locations directly from a Microsoft Access database, which is what I already have all my data in. You know, I know you can import data into Google Earth too, but everything that I have, I can easily do without being connected to the internet. The only downside is that the mapping program that I'm using is 2005 edition, which probably means the data is probably, I don't know, a year or two or more older than that. And So for newer development, I'm quite out of date.
Okay.
Certain parts of the country, including Northern Virginia, where I was this morning, are still under development. And so every few years, I'll go back and there'll be a Starbucks on a street that doesn't exist on my map. I need to update pretty soon. I'm hoping they have a new edition, but, you know, even when I do, it'll still be out of date for cities like Las Vegas. The Phoenix suburbs are still growing. Still a lot of development, which actually kind of saddens me because I'm opposed to all this urban sprawl and development that's ruining the environment.
Yeah.
Or helping ruin the environment.
Say again?
That's helping to ruin the environment.
Oh, okay. Now, what would a typical week be for you? Like, say, how many miles do you cover? How many Starbucks would you visit in a typical week?
I would say I would say there's no such thing as a typical week for me because I do have to work too. So if I'm working, I am going to be working Monday through Friday typically, and only taking trips on the weekend. And I may only take a short trip and just visit a handful of stores, or if I'm on the East Coast, I may take a longer trip, maybe take a Friday off, and be able to visit several dozen stores.
Huh.
It's a stark contrast to when I'm in between jobs, like right now, and I'm doing this all day, every day, pretty much. And I usually visit an average of 10 stores a day. So today I visited 11.
Okay.
That'll increase depending on where I am. If I'm in California, that'll usually be more like 15 or 20 stores a day, you know, areas where they build a lot of stores.
Sure.
If I'm in the more remote parts of the West, Montana and Wyoming, I may only visit a handful of stores, and the rest of the time will be lots and lots of driving. I may only visit one store on the day that I fly up to the Yukon Territory. I'm hoping to do that this year because that store has been there for several years, and I worry after a store has been open for over a year, I start to worry that it might close.
Okay.
Contrary to popular belief, Starbucks do close for a variety of reasons.
Okay. And you said, is that up in Yellowknife? Is that where they have that?
White Horse.
White Horse, okay.
Yes, it's going to be pretty expensive, like $400 flight, somewhere between $300 and $400 flight from Vancouver for just one store. Either that, or I drive 1,000 miles each way.
Yeah.
Which is about 3 days of driving. It could save a little money, but... Wow, 3 days of driving for one store is pretty heady.
Right.
So.
Yeah. That's everything gets. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to point out that the idea that I would be doing this to this extent just didn't occur to me.
Huh.
You know, when I was at Starbucks and had this original idea, it never occurred to me that I'd have to go up to the Yukon Territory or China, for that matter.
Are you happy with the I don't know if you'd say route necessarily, but the direction, I guess, that this whole thing has kind of morphed and grown into?
I think it serves my purposes beautifully, because my primary goal in life is to organize my philosophy about how the world needs to change, and try and disseminate that philosophy. And the attention that I'm getting from my Starbucks project allows me a platform for voicing these viewpoints that I would not otherwise have. You know, if I published a book saying, you know, this is how I want to change the world, nobody would have read it. But now, invariably, some people will go to my website because they're interested in Starbucks, and then they'll click on my philosophy link as I start putting more on there, and I'll get a little bit of a platform, a soapbox, that way.
Huh.
Kind of accidentally.
Now, you mentioned your website. Can you just mention it for all the listeners out there?
My website is StarbucksEverywhere.net, and there's also a sort of companion website, StarbuckingMovie.com, which is dedicated to the documentary that is about to be released on DVD that documents a year in the life of my Starbucks project.
Yeah, now talk a little bit about that. How did that, I mean, I'm sure in your wildest dreams you probably never conceived of someone actually following you around and, you know, with a camera to follow what you do when you started this. How did that all kind of come about?
Well, you're absolutely correct. When I thought of the idea, and for many years, it never occurred to me that somebody would want to make a documentary about this. I didn't even get the idea for the first time until I was at a film festival and saw a mini short film called something like 1,000 Cups of Coffee, or maybe 1,000,000 Cups of Coffee. And then I had the idea that what I might be doing might be worthy of a documentary. And the idea just sort of sat in the back of my mind until 2004, when I, when a reporter did a fairly long article about my project for the Washington Post magazine. That article was reprinted in a magazine called The Week, and a county prosecutor in Kearney, Nebraska, read that article and contacted me about a new Starbucks that had opened up there. Then he contacted me again and said, "Hey, I've been thinking about making a documentary, getting in film. What do you think?" And, you know, I said, "Sure, why not?" I was in no position to do anything at the time because I was still looking for work back when work was harder to find. Once I did find a job and headed out to the East Coast and started resuming my weekend trips out to visit new stores, Bill Tangerman, that's his name, flew out to meet me, shot some footage, put together an initial trailer, and I decided that it looked pretty good, and we'd proceed. So over the course of a year, he would fly out to meet me on a variety of trips, rode with me for about a week and a half through the Southwest and the Midwest once, and assembled enough footage to put together a film. Submitted it to several, submitted it to many film festivals, was accepted to three, and out of that, we got the film deal by with a small company in San Francisco called Heretic Films. And so finally, almost 3 years after the whole process began, the DVD will be out on April 24th.
Wow, that's great. Now, is this something where people will have to go, you had mentioned Amazon.com, where they will have to buy the DVD online, or is it available in some theaters, or some, you had mentioned some festivals? Where would be the best place for people to find this, the movie?
Well, it's going to be very difficult to find it anywhere other than DVD, because it screened at three festivals. It screened at Temple University about a month ago, and it will screen in Nashville on Monday. That's where I'm headed right now. Then to New Mexico, following Saturday. And then possibly in Nebraska, possibly in New York City, but most people are going to have to see it on DVD, and it should be available in major retail stores like Borders, for example.
Okay.
But we won't have a full list of places where it's available until April, but right now you can find the listing on Amazon.com and pre-order it with a discount.
Okay.
You can also find it on Netflix and add it to your queue.
Okay, great. So, and probably, you said that the movie also has its own website you mentioned earlier. Is that correct?
Right, starbuckingmovie.com.
Starbucking movie.
Or Google Starbucking and you'll find hits to the movie. The actual term Starbucking has increased in usage over the past few years to refer to more than just the movie. But most of the time it will pull up movie hits, especially right now that it's getting a lot of buzz because the trailer, the final trailer, just went up on the web.
Okay. All right. Great.
Available on YouTube if you Google for Starbucking on YouTube.
Okay, so the trailer's on YouTube as well? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, excellent.
Get a little peek of what the movie's going to be like. A lot of people have wondered, what's this movie going to be? Is it just going to be you going into Starbucks and then drinking coffee? It's going to cover quite a bit more than that.
All right, so I hope you're enjoying that so far, and there's more to come, so stay tuned here. Quickly, the coffee scenes for this week. As you remember, last week I mentioned I stopped at a little town north of Austin called Pflugerville. So I got one place in Pflugerville, a couple in Edinburgh, and one in McAllen, Texas for this week. So not too many. First, that place in Austin, I stopped on the way from Waco down to, Wichita Falls, on the way down to Laredo. And a little place in Pflugerville, Texas, right north of Austin, and it was called Lone Star Espresso and Tea. And the mocha latte there, weak espresso, I wrote, was the first thing I noticed about the drink. Okay chocolate, fairly loose foam, but as I said, weak espresso taste all around. This drink was just average, so I gave that drink a 3.2 beans. Now, the coffee shop itself is on the corner there, and very kind of comfy, homey kind of feel. I really like the environment. The lady working there was the owner, and she was very proud of, you know, what she had there. And you could get, I believe you could get sandwiches around lunchtime. And yeah, just kind of very, very, not a big place, you know, just a few tables and chairs. But very comfy, cozy kind of environment there. So that was in Pflugerville, Texas. I have a hard time saying that. It starts with a P. It's a PF, Pflugerville, Texas. if you can say that five times fast, you're good. You're better than I am. So next up is Edinburgh, Texas. Now this place was just, Edinburgh is about a 15-minute ride, well, maybe not 15, maybe 10 minutes north of McAllen and Hidalgo there. And I visited two places. The first place was Ristretto Italian Bistro. And I was excited because the name Ristretto, most people don't even know what a Ristretto shot. Ristretto means, I think it means held back or short or restrained. And it's a smaller shot of espresso that is even more bold and tasty, if you can imagine that. So I had high hopes about this place. And I walked in, and it's kind of more of a restaurant with a coffee shop kind of vibe to it, I guess you could say. They had a nice three-station La Marzocco there, but all of the tables were wait service tables. So you sit down and they come to you, and they had a menu with homemade like lasagna and that type of stuff. But very comfortable feel. I mean, you could go there, I'm sure, and study, but there's no couches or anything like that. The drink I wrote was too sweet. Fairly loose foam. Only used one shot. in the 16-ounce, which usually they use two in a 16-ounce. That's what I would recommend as a general. I'd say 95% of the mocha lattes I get, I always get 16-ounce size, and they always have two shots. Anyways, it was in-house cup, which is a good thing. Had taste of espresso, okay milk, just too sweet. So I gave that drink 3.2 beans. Now, the next place is the Coffee Zone, and this is a little farther from the downtown, and there's also, I believe it's a university there in Edinburgh, which is usually wherever you find a university, you'll find coffee shops, is the general rule I've kind of noticed over the years. In this case, the Coffee Zone, I think it's a franchise, I'm not sure, I think I remember going to a couple other Coffee Zones. In this case, it was, you go in, it had kind of that, I don't know if you say cliche type of coffee feel. They had a couple chairs. They actually had booths to sit in. I think they had a conference room there. Very nice decor. A lot of work put into that. They had tables outside, which, as a matter of fact, had power outlets. So if you want to take your computer and surf the net outside, that's a very nice added thing. Because a lot of places will provide outside seating, but there aren't any power outlets out there. So if you want to take your computer, your battery dies, then you're kind of out of luck. So that was a good thing that I noticed. And the people were very friendly there. They have a drive-through service and yeah, it was a nice decor. Very fancy, I'd say fancy kind of decorated bathrooms. The bathrooms were nicer than your average coffee place. But the mocha latte, more importantly, I wrote here, a good amount of espresso, had a hint of bitter aftertaste to it, served auto whipped cream, and auto to go cup. Although it did have real chocolate shavings on top, but just too much chocolate and too sweet. So I gave them 3.0 beans. And the shaved chocolate was a nice touch, but that whipped cream, you should at least ask on the whipped cream. Shouldn't be automatic on a drink, because I think it makes it way too sweet, in my opinion. So, yeah. Next up, last but not least, is in McAllen, Texas, just north of Hidalgo there. And it was Moon Beans Coffee. Now, in McAllen, there are four or five places that showed up on the Google Earth search that I do every week. And pretty much, I'd say 90% of those places were closed. I actually called one number and the gentleman called me back on my cell phone, and because I have an out-of-town number, obviously, and we actually had a nice little chat. He said he had opened a coffee place and had trouble with the landlord, trying to skip him for rent or something like that, and he ended up closing his coffee place and was selling his coffee equipment that he had placed on Craigslist, which is why he called me back. So that long, convoluted story to say that, you know, we had a nice talk about coffee coffee shop business, but I digress. So on to Moon Beans Coffee. Now they have a couple places in McAllen, but I tried to visit. I think this was the first and original there in McAllen. And I wrote about the drink first. I'll talk about that. Pretty decent latte all around, with some nice latte art by none other than Claudia. Served auto to go cup, latte art. Decent chocolate. It tasted like Da Vinci syrup to me in there. I'm not sure. That's what it tasted like. Only thing that could have been better, slightly better espresso taste and better quality chocolate, I would say. It was served in-house cup as well. So 4.0 beans for that drink. And as always, you can find my bean rating scale at bestmochalatte.blogspot.com. And I usually try to put a picture and type in what I just spoke out of my little review book that I write them in here. So you can go on there, and usually the address is there, and they have a website and phone number. You can get it off there as well and kind of use it as a thing. Now, the Moon Beans Coffee, the cafe itself actually is, they have beer and wine that you can buy, and they also have live music on the weekends. So it's definitely kind of a night spot on the weekends. And And as I mentioned earlier, Claudia was the barista there, and doing good stuff, actually. She, I was very impressed. I was waiting in line to buy, I bought some espresso beans, which I used for this week's espresso, and I have to say, I was delightfully surprised. I saw they had a small batch roaster there. I don't think it was a ProBat, but it was a roaster. I usually try the roasted beans, and their espresso blend wasn't too bad. A little on the pricey side, I have to say. But as I was waiting in line, Claudia, some gentleman has for, like, I think two double shots of espresso separately, because he was going to drink one then and wait, you know, and drink one in like 20 minutes or whatever. And she told him, well, your shot goes bad after about, I think it was like a, you know, about 2 or 3 minutes, your shot goes bad, you know, it loses its taste. And not a lot of baristas these days. You'd be surprised. Not a lot of baristas know that. Definitely AJ from the roastery that I talked to last week, he knows that, doing good stuff out there in Kansas City. But I applaud you, Claudia. Keep up the good work. So, all right. Well, back to the interview. After this, we'll wrap it up with upcoming attractions, next week's special guest. You're going to find out who that is. And also a new music exclusive, first heard anywhere in the entire planet Earth here. So here's the rest of the interview. Enjoy. Well, I was kind of curious when, I know you cover a lot of miles, and I also do the same thing, in my case, because of my job. But what is one thing, I guess, what would you say are the two biggest things that you've learned in seeing the country? I mean, obviously it's changed your perspective, you know, literally physically driving, you know, all the roads of the entire country and see the vast, diverseness, you could say, that our country, you know, has to offer. What are the two biggest things that you've learned, I guess, in all the miles that you've covered from this project?
Well, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is, from driving all these miles, I've seen that there is a lot of beautiful country still out there, mm-hmm, that has not been developed, and but a lot of it is being developed. And you know, the natural landscape is being destroyed, mm-hmm, and I think it's a very sad thing. So I get to see that right up front. I get to follow the country's development right up front, because wherever there's new development, invariably there's a new Starbucks. On a positive note, the country's certainly worth seeing. And I guess the second biggest thing is not so much about the country, but about me. And it's changed, like you said, it's changed my perspective. Mm-hmm. And now I could not imagine just settling down in any one part of the country, which is opposite to how I used to think. You know, I used to imagine, oh, I love Houston. I want to grow up there and never leave and work for the same company. Hmm. Now that thought, is almost like being in prison. I want to be able to live, you know, essentially everywhere. I want to be able to live in Texas for a while, and live on the East Coast for a while, and live on the West Coast, and live in the Midwest, and just keep moving around, because every part of the country has something to offer, and if I'm away for long, I'll start to miss it.
So
I guess a lot of people have an idea of home. In my mind, I do not have an idea of home. Closest idea that I have to home is what I need to survive that fits in my car.
So it really kind of takes things down to the basics and makes you realize how little you really need to survive, I guess.
That's correct. And I really shouldn't say to survive. I should say what little I need to live. And I think life should be about more than just survival. But what I need to accomplish my goal.
Hmm.
You know, is, you know, a change of clothes, my laptop, my camera, my transportation, and my wits about me.
Have you noticed one thing? I noticed, you know, when I was on the road for quite a while, been doing this for about a year and a half now, was that I wasn't watching TV anymore, and therefore I wasn't being bombarded by the media. Did you find that same kind of thing? The more and more you traveled, it kind of took all that extraneous, you know, media advertising bombardment out of your life?
I'd have to say absolutely not.
I'm
listening to the radio constantly and the news, so I don't want to isolate myself. I want to be aware of what's going on, but I'm also a voracious consumer of popular culture, so that would be television, music, books, and even when I'm on the road for an extended period of time, I try to keep up with that. And now in the age of the internet, it makes it easier to do what used to be impossible, keeping up with TV shows, for example. But of course, with the internet, I can keep up with whatever publication I choose.
Yeah. I guess it gives you more of a choice, too, in a sense.
Sure. Yeah, the internet offers plenty of choices. But since I can tend to be on the road, you mentioned a month and a half. I've been on the road for as long as 3 months. So I cannot look at it as being on vacation.
Right.
I look at it as actually living.
A lifestyle.
You know, live my life on the road. So the normal things that I would do, washing my clothes, going to the movies, getting my oil changed, all that kind of thing, going to the doctor, I have to do, but I just have to figure out how to do it in unfamiliar places.
Yeah.
Of course, since many of the same services are available all over the country, it's not fairly unfamiliar.
Yeah.
You know, this shopping center across from Starbucks in Bristol, Virginia, could just as easily be anywhere else in the country. And I pretty much have to say that I cannot see a single thing as I look around that would identify this location as Bristol, Virginia.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah, I felt the same way. What I was saying is, I've actually been on the road about a year and a half now, with the circus, and I can totally identify what you're saying about how, you know, the basic services, you know, like whether it be, you know, you have a tooth that needs to be worked on, or you know, something, you know, anything like that. It's the same thing. So, well,
oh,
great.
I apologize. I said a month and a half to you. I misheard you. So you've actually been on the road for a year and a half.
Yeah, that's correct. It's probably the connection here with the microphone.
No, I'm sure you said it correctly and I heard it correctly. Just my mind translated it. But I think that's fascinating, and I think it would be an interesting experience for me. If I managed to be on the road for that long. Right now it's not feasible because I have to find employment, and all my computer programming jobs are on site. If I ever find a computer programming job that is off site where I can work with my laptop, you know, I could be on the road, see myself as being on the road for months.
Yeah.
But I'm just a mini version of that that challenge of being in unfamiliar circumstances for a long time. In May, once the publicity around the movie dies down, I hope to go to Europe and some other parts of the world, and I hope to be away for as long as 6 weeks before I return. And I hope to follow that with on just a backpack.
Wow, that would
so
be
that's,
great.
That's going to be a challenge, you know, figuring out how to get what I need in a foreign country.
Yeah.
Backpack.
That's great, though.
There's a reason for that, and that's because having additional luggage would slow me down. And since I'm in a constant race against time with all the new Starbucks that are opening, you know, and even an hour that it would take me to get back to a hostel to pick up my bag would make a difference and cost me the chance to visit new stores.
Huh. So you have it planned that tight then as far as a time schedule?
I don't have the plan yet, but once I get there and start looking at airplane flights to different places, I will have it planned fairly tightly. Actually, you know, I don't have to plan that intricately, because the plan usually is race as fast as you can until you finish, then hop on a plane and go someplace else. That's going to be the plan.
Okay. Wow.
You know, because of plane schedules, it's going to be a slightly different experience than here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. I can't just rush off to another city once I'm done. I will have to wait for the next flight, you know, for whatever flight I've scheduled, which is actually a good thing, because it will give me a few hours, you know, maybe half a day, maybe a whole day, to see something other than Starbucks. Uh-huh. And it would be a shame if I got to all these foreign countries and only saw Starbucks.
Sure. Yeah.
Not to say that I'll want to see touristy sites. This is actually mentioned in the movie, addressed by a friend of mine. He talks about it in the movie, how I've gone to foreign countries and haven't seen things like Big Ben, for example, or some other touristy site. And I really have no interest, because in my mind, really, what value is there of going to London, seeing Big Ben, or seeing Buckingham Palace, just seeing it, taking a picture of yourself in front of it, and then going back to your life in the United States? You know, people, that's sort of an open-ended question, but, you know, I would ask, what value is there of doing that? So that's why sightseeing aspects of it has no interest to me. Doing something like going to a museum, I'd say, is different, because you can be actively engaged in trying to understand the art.
Right.
But at least when I'm photographing Starbucks, you know, I'm undergoing a challenging process of finding them, getting other people to understand me, taking the photograph, making the notes. And, you know, that's the sort of a documentary active process, the way I think of it, in contrast with the passive process of just standing in front of the Great Wall of China and having your picture taken.
Right.
And, you know, I hope I'm not rubbing some listeners the wrong way, because, you know, many of your listeners have surely gone overseas and had their photographs taken in front of this touristy site or that touristy site, and going to think, well, what's wrong with that? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but what does it really accomplish in the larger view of things?
Well, great. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast here. And is this the first podcast interview you've done?
No. Actually, I've done a podcast that you might have heard of called The Overnightscape.
Okay.
Out of New York.
Okay.
And that was pretty interesting. I like the podcasting medium. I think it's great. And listening to podcasts of Fresh Air, NPR show.
Yeah, Jerry Gross out of Philly.
Helps make my drive go a little bit more smoothly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, great.
So I wish you luck in your search for that best. Is it the best mocha latte?
Yep, that's correct.
And have to. Is it an ongoing search like mine, or do you think you'll wrap it up at some point?
I think it'll be a lifelong search. You know, I have I kind of have a scale that I rate all the drinks that I try, and I have various, you know, characteristics of the drink, almost like you would, kind of like you would taste wine, that same process that you go through, and the highest, it's a, you know, 1 to 5 scale, and 5 being the ideal. But I don't think you know, I'll ever reach that ideal, because there's always going to be room for improvement no matter where I go. So it's
you can appreciate the value of enjoying the journey and not necessarily focusing on the destination.
Absolutely, absolutely. That, and I also get, you know, the people that I've met along the way, you know, for the search, you know, I mean, obviously I have an opportunity each week, you know, to see these different towns and you know, to do play music and travel across the U.S., but, you know, just all the people that I've met that, you know, that like coffee, that have that common interest, you know, it's just, it's really cool to sit down and talk with someone, you know, such as yourself, and, you know, just find out, not just, you know, that obviously you like, you know, coffee and have this project, but, you know, what you're all about and kind of what makes you tick. And like you said, you have your philosophy and you know, that's something that I never would have happened upon had I not started, you know, started this quest, much like yourself. So,
oh yeah, that's great. I couldn't even enumerate all the things that have happened in the last 5 years that would have never happened.
Yeah.
I got embarked on this quest, and I guess the sky's the limit as to what will happen in the future.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like the people like us, I think we kind of, you know, they say there's very few places for adventure anymore in the world, but I think you kind of have to make your own adventure and then just go for it. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who said there's very few places for adventure, but you're very mistaken.
Yeah.
Plenty of adventure to be had if you're determined.
Yep, absolutely.
Even in a Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, definitely. Well, great. Well, thanks, Winter.
Yeah. I wrote a song about it.
Who wrote a song? You did?
No, some country dude. Yeah, he used to play on the radio sometime last year. It was a hit.
Okay.
I don't remember who it was, but it was about all his youthful memories of the Walmart parking lot.
Well, I have to say, Walmart parking lots have free parking for RVs and tractor trailers. So I've spent.
I'm looking at half a dozen right now.
Yeah. That could be me on any given day. So.
or me.
Yep. Or yourself.
In the hatchback.
That's right. Oh man, well great, well thanks again, Winter. I really appreciate your time, and I think everyone out there is going to really really enjoy the interview on the podcast.
Hey, thank you very much, Nathan. I appreciate your interest, and let's stay in touch. Alright
sure thing, safe travels. All right, well, that wraps up this week's show. Thank you for downloading the podcast or listening to it, streaming, or, I don't know, eavesdropping on your neighbor's cubicle. However you heard the show, I'm glad you joined me here in the RV and came along for the ride this week. That movie that he mentioned, Starbucking, comes out April 24th on DVD. So today's the 2nd of April, so you have about 22 days to pre-order the movie. I'm really looking forward to watching it. I think it's going to be good. So, yeah. And if you want to send feedback, I always enjoy hearing where you're at and the coffee scene and your neck of the world. And if you had a really good mocha latte, or if you had some coffee that tasted like, I don't know, the water in your bird bath or something, send me an email at bestmochalatte@podomatic.com, and we'd love to hear from you. And there's also a website I have for the podcast, bestmochalatte.podomatic.com, and I always put up a little blurb about each episode and a picture up there, and I have links to some of the other circus podcasts and other good fun stuff. And I also want to send a thank you to Blueberry Network, blueberry.com, BLUEBRRY.com. There's no E in fruit, so there's no E in blueberry. So I want to send out a big thank you to them. And also, as I mentioned, next week's podcast, we have a special guest. It is none other than Liliana Escobar, who is our ring mistress for the show. She sings, and she kind of dances, and she's the kind of one of the main faces for the show, and she loves coffee. She's born and raised in Mexico, so she can fill us in on the coffee scene there and what's happening with coffee. And yeah, you're going to get to meet her and find out all about her love for coffee and singing and theater and music and all kinds of great things. So and circus. So yeah, it's going to be a good time. You have to check that out next week. I'm really looking forward to it. And also, last but not least, the new music exclusive from Mod Dog, fresh off the hard drive. It's called Time for Coffee, and you're gonna enjoy it. I liked it, so I think you really dig it. So put on a pot of coffee or a French press, or pull a couple shots of espresso and enjoy. And until next week, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye. Time.